Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WJLA 7 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Are you a savvy user of the internet? Do you know how to protect your privacy when you're online? And what about personal assistance devices? Do you know that some of them are always listening? Are you comfortable with that? Do businesses take the necessary steps to protect consumers' information? Well, these are a lot of important questions. And also, one of the questions, should I set up accounts at sites that I use frequently and giving them all my personal information? So we're going to get some answers to these questions. My guest is Edan Udi Idri. He is the CEO of Trustify. Edan, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, now, let's talk about, first off, your business is to protect emails, basically, right?
That's correct.
And before we went on air, you gave me what I found to be a rather startling statistic. And that was, you said that studies have shown that 69% of breaches for consumers is caused by emails.
Correct.
Did I get that right?
Yes.
Explain
in today's
that a
world,
little. Yeah,
definitely. The digital edge is serving all of us. Everybody's doing the online banking. Everybody likes to have their comfort on their phone and have a full access to their accounts. It doesn't matter whether it's the bank account, email account, any type of connectivity that they have to run their life in the most comfortable way. But this comes with a price. And the price is that we are all sharing, at the end of the day, the same network, the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So this gives us vulnerabilities and, of course, cyber breaches. While people just, the hackers, and these are the bad guys in the neighborhood of the internet that mm-hmm. just want to create those crimes and find a way to hack our life, steal the information, and use it for criminal purposes.
Wow.
So,
and we've been hearing a lot about that. And 69% of those breaches come through in emails.
Correct.
Well, you were saying to me that emails are your personal identifier. It's just like having a driver's license online.
Exactly. And that's what I wanted to say. Today, email is your alternative electronic digital ID. It's the same way you're carrying your driver license to use it as an ID, or your social security for other purposes, mm-hmm. or your passport when you're traveling around the world.
Mm-hmm.
The email is nothing else but another alternative ID. You send an email to a person, he see your name, he see the email address, he knows that's the person that sent me this email.
Mm-hmm.
So it's another form of ID for us to communicate with the world.
Okay, so but sometimes that communication can be breached, as you've indicated. But now here's the thing. I feel like I send rather benign emails. Do I have a reason to be concerned?
The answer is strictly yes, and I'll explain.
Okay.
Emails can be breached very easy, and email can be used against you in a certain situation. And again, of course, when everybody's using their emails, they're communicating with the world.
Mm-hmm.
They're communicating with their kids, they're communicating with suppliers, they're communicating mm-hmm. with families. But then you always have a situation where this email is going to contain information that actually you don't want this information to be out. So,
mm-hmm.
for example, you're buying an airline ticket from your travel agent, and he's asking you, can you please send a copy of your passport
mm-hmm.
or a copy of your credit card? This information you don't want to fall into the wrong hands. Same goes for social security copies, for driver license
mm-hmm.
copy, for bank statement if you want to buy a property, for car insurance when you send your VIN number. This is information that you don't want to share with the wrong people. And exactly for this reason, we are doing and what we're calling email encryption to protect your identity over your emails.
So
and your
now
information.
How would I encrypt my emails, Edan? I mean, is that easy? Is that something that any general computer user can do? I know this is what your company does, and I think you've primarily been working with industry on this, right?
Correct.
Using your technology. But what about the consumer? Don't leave us out.
Yes. We started to work with, as you said, the business domain of law firms, financial. Our clients are coming mm-hmm. mostly from those domains. Medical doctors that need their medical record to be encrypted.
Oh, amen.
Over emails. Oh, yeah. And then real estate that they're encrypting, their bank statement of their client. Same goes for the law firm when they have court orders or some sensitive information on their client to be encrypted over email. And it comes with contracts and a lot of different applications. But then in Trustify, we decide that this software actually needs to be available for everyone and not only for business. So if I'm a 14-year-old boy that used the email of my school, and I'm going to send sensitive information, I want to be able to download and to encrypt my information. And if I'm a 70-year-old person who now needs to send a Social Security copy card to his son because his son is taking care of a payment for me, mm-hmm. I want to be able to do it in 5 clicks. Not complicated and very user-friendly. So we in Trustify decided we're going to focus on this area as well, and we released the software to the world. And actually, as you mentioned, you can just go download the software, and in 5 clicks, you can encrypt your email, track your email, and also postmark your email if you're sending it to a specific legal.
Now, I'm assuming there's a cost involved with this.
Yes, and the cost is ridiculous. And I'll explain.
Yeah, I love the way you said that.
For consumer. Yes, because it's important for a consumer. And I always use the same metaphor. When you go and buy a car, you do insurance. You pay the insurance no matter what. Because you have to. And same goes for your house. And you install security system or camera system. And people spend hundreds of dollars to protect their privacy, liability, or property. We're talking here on $6.99 per month for you to protect your information. Now, let me ask you the following question. Do you know that after Equifax, the 143 million credit records that went out to the darknet, do you know how many people just simply the following day went and buy application like LifeLock or identity theft for $30 a month, $20 a month, just to have a monitoring tool?
Oh, yes, I understand.
Yeah, and this is not insuring you, by the way, that your credit is not going to get hurt. It's just giving you a monitoring tool. So
that's right.
The same way I'm asking you, Shirley, would you want to pay less than 50 or 40 cents a day to protect your sensitive information over email?
And the reason I ask that is I just want to, you know, full disclosure to consumers. Now, let me ask you something about this. How do I know that I can trust Trustify? If you're going to download something onto my website, how do I check you guys out?
Perfect question. And here's how it works. Trustify offers.
You know what? Before you do that, Edon, let me just take a pause here so that our listeners will know that they're listening to Off Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Edon Udi Edri. We are and he is the CEO of Trustify, and we're talking about how to protect your email, which you may not know it, but 69% of breaches is involved with email. That stuns me, Edon. But go ahead. I'm sorry. So I had asked you the question, how do I know that consumers can trust you? Because if I'm downloading your software, are you going to be looking at my computer?
This is a perfect question, and we're getting these questions from our business clients and from our enterprise clients and obviously from our consumer.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer is as follows. Trustify does not force you to go into a dedicated portal where you're going to upload your files and send it.
Okay.
Trustify is actually a plugin that's sitting on your Outlook or your Gmail. While you attach the file on your computer, this file is being encrypted with a dedicated key that your computer generates along with our software. Nobody in Trustify has the access to this data since it's going to AWS Amazon Cloud and from there to the destination, where only the destination with a multi-factor authentication key can open this file.
So I send an email, but the person that's receiving that email is going to have the ability to decrypt it. So they would also have to be using the same software.
And this is another great question of you. And the answer is no. And that's the beauty. Trustify does not force you that your destination target is going to have to have Trustify as well.
Well, how would they be able to read and encrypt? Is this only encrypting it until it gets to the person I'm sending it to?
So here's how it works. You put the email address of the person, you attach the file that you want to be attached, and you click send. But when you put the email of the person, you also put the number of his phone or any type of information you want to give the system to identify and to authenticate that the target person is the real person who was supposed to open it.
Ah, so that's the big the verification process.
Yes, and he's going to get an email saying, Shirley sent you an encrypted email. In order to open, please click here. And he's going to click. And then if you put his phone number, he's going to have to put his phone number too. He's going to get a dedicated PIN code that only he have.
I see.
And this is how the system will authenticate that's the person that Shirley meant that needs to open this attachment.
So I can send this to anybody. And they would go through this process. Now, if I'm sitting down at my computer and I'm just using it to... for something that I don't really think has any value, would I need to use the encryption, or would I just send emails and then I can encrypt what I choose to encrypt?
Well, you can choose what you want to encrypt. Clearly, not everything needs to be encrypted.
Mm-hmm,
and
right.
On top of it, we even give you the capability whether you want to encrypt also the content. For example, you're sending an email, hello, Idan, please find attached bank statement showing wiring of $2 million following the attack.
You can send me the $2 million, Idan. That would be fine. Okay.
And what I'm telling you is that you can also encrypt the content of the email, not only the file. So even this line that's saying, please find attached a $2 million statement, this is going to be encrypted as well. So your flexibility of what you want to encrypt and how much you want to encrypt it is on you as the user. You will decide how much you want to encrypt and what you want to encrypt.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. So I would have a choice within that email if some of the information is sensitive and some is just saying, you know, I had a great dinner last night. I can make a choice as to what to encrypt. And then the person who receives it on the other line, the other end, they will be notified that they're receiving an encrypted email from me, and they have to take certain steps in order to read it. And that's a verification process on the other end for the person. But and you said they don't have to use your software, but your software has to be connected to this somehow.
The software is connected to the user that's using it, but the destination does not have to use it.
Does not have to have it. Okay, well, my mind is not wrapped around exactly how that works yet, but we'll work on that one, and I'll take your word for that. Okay, so now, this we're talking about protecting emails, which is what you do, but let's go to the larger issue of consumers who are going on the internet, because I gather that is also your area of expertise on how to protect your information. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay. So if you don't mind, do you have anything else you want to add to this? Because I think the whole process is quite fascinating.
The only thing I really want to add, which is I think is important, not only did you have the capability to encrypt your email, but you can also track exactly. And surely, I'm telling you, when you're going to see it, you need to see it to believe it. You will have the capability to see exactly who opened the email, when he opened the email, from what IP address, from what computer, with what browser, and if it's a phone, from what phone, what IP, and the exact location that this person opened the email.
But you do not keep that data, so you're not going to have a file of all this.
No. This is your file. This is your key. This is your infrastructure. And again, Trustify works with Amazon, AWS services. We do not hold the data at any case in our information.
Well, that protects you in a lot of ways as well. And
definitely.
Exactly.
From liability
it makes life a lot simpler. Exactly.
Exactly.
So let's go to the internet and consumers and the breaches that have occurred, and how do consumers, I'm not particularly interested in telling them how to avoid identity theft per se, but rather in telling them how, well, it is protecting, but how do I know when I go to a website that it's legitimate? Now, I have a program that's checks all these websites and is supposed to tell me if they're legit. But how do I know whether they're legit or not?
Well, one of the biggest problem today is, and not every website is a threat. I mean,
of course
we can
not.
Go Google, we can use, but we're talking about the sensitive website. For example, our bank account or banking, any type of financial, let's just say traveling point, American Express, any type of credit card. So what I suggest to people today is, first of all, to make sure that their privacy and security level on their browser is on the highest one. Meaning, again, and you remember how I start the conversation, comfort come with price. The more comfortable we're going to have, the more pricey it can be.
Sure.
So, yes, when you're going to put the highest security level, it's going to ask you a lot of questions before you go to the website. It's going to tell you, are you sure this is what you want to do? Do you want me to save your password? So, yes, it comes with a price, but at the end of the day, you don't want to log in your credentials to a fake website that looks like your bank.
And there are a lot of fake websites. On that note, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Edon Udi Idri. He is the CEO of Trustify. And Edon is telling us about how we protect ourselves and that we may want to go through several levels of answering questions because it's a greater protection for us. So go ahead.
So I recommend everyone, whatever browser they use, first of all, the highest security level on the, on the bar, number one. Number two, please, please, please do not use the feature that offer you to save automatically your password. And then afterward, you can simply log on to the website and you don't have to put your password again. This is a nice, comfortable feature, but it is a very and extremely dangerous because it means this password is saved somewhere on your computer and on the cloud of the browser. And then he's pulling this information once you're going to go back to your website. Yes, I know sometimes it's a hassle to put the password again, but you're saving yourself from a worst case scenario that basically somebody else is going to be on your website with your credentials
and using all my information. Not a nice thought. Let me ask you a question. It's a little bit removed from that, but can people get to my? Let's say I use my let's say I used my computer for my bank for all of these financial things with my stockbroker, et cetera, et cetera. All that information is on my computer. Can someone get from my email into that computer?
Of course.
Well, they can download a Trojan horse, right, or a keystroke logger.
Are you getting an email? Remember, as we start the conversation.
And so now, will your process protect against that kind of email?
Yes, because that's what we call identity theft of email. Again, email is an ID. So what does it mean, identity theft? When you're going to get an email that it looks suspicious for you and you have a suspicious link and this email, you're going to have to reply with your encrypted information and you're going to click track and encrypt on Trustify. So if the destination is a false one and a hacker, he would not be able to open it.
Okay,
gotcha. That's number one. Number two, the system is going to make sure and validate that the email that you are sending to is valid, and it's not a false one. And one of the biggest problems that we see today is that I can literally send an email on your behalf, and everybody's going to look. They're going to think it's Shirley.
Oh, sure.
It's going to say Shirley's name.
You can spoof
everything.
It. Yep.
Exactly. And this is what we call an identity theft of email. That's one of the biggest problems that we experience today with our client as well.
Oh, yeah.
I've had
things sent to me. Like there was a person that I knew who supposedly sent me a picture. This person was not my friend. Far from it. And I knew that it had to be a fraud. So I didn't open that picture. But I am certain there was something in there that person's computer had been hacked. And that somebody was using their computer address book to send out these malicious emails. So,
Shirley, yesterday we dealt with a case that a rich person, that normally sends emails to his bank, please wire here, please wire there. And the bank got an email that says, please wire $3 million to my account in Chase. And this was a false email.
Oh, my goodness.
It looks like it came from him. It's exactly his name. The bank saw everything. But since we used the two-factor authentication, when the bank replied, there was no reply. Because the other person doesn't hold the phone or doesn't hold the credentials.
Okay.
And this is where the problem starts. So basically, this is how you can protect on one hand. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, the bank called our client and said, hey, we saw that you tried a wire. We sent you an authentication, but you didn't reply to it.
Because it was the wrong address.
Because it was not me.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah. Isn't it amazing, Idan, how people use technology for all kinds of awful purposes? So anyway, okay, let's go ahead now. We're talking about do not use your password saver on your computer. And
correct.
I know a lot of us are guilty of that. What are some of the other things that we need to be careful? Set your settings to the highest level when you're going to do when you're working on the internet. What other things do we need? And also, one of the things that we warn consumers about are websites that look like and look almost exactly like the real thing. And we're hearing that this is happening with travel agencies as well. They're setting up false sites. And then I was reading something that there's a bunch of false business sites that are being on Google. So we have to be really careful, don't we? We have to be a little bit smarter.
We have to be a little bit smarter, and we have to be aware. Number one is the awareness. So when we click a website, we're not going to write chase.com. We're going to write www.chase.com. Mm-hmm. You want to write the full address, because a lot of phishing tools and basically those type of fake websites, they're using the fact that people doesn't write the whole website name, and then they divert the website that you click to actually a fake one, and then it looks like Chase.
So now if I put, Idan, you're telling me that if I put www.chase.com, that will get me there. But
address,
if I put Chase Bank in there, then it will.
And it's Google. It's going to send you to Google or to whatever search engine you have.
Okay.
And it's going to give you a result. This result is not necessarily going to be the bank. That's what I'm trying to say.
I gotcha.
Now,
okay.
In
and you know what?
Bank,
we have not even touched on the personal listening devices that are tracking what you say and storing that information somewhere.
Yes.
We've got 2 minutes. You got to be brief.
Yeah. The only thing I want to say on the website issue is that I can ensure it for the consumers today, the banks, the big banks, using a very good software on the backbone to make sure that their website is not being replicated. So in this case, we are quite covered, but there's other millions of websites that are not. So
that
we
are
have
not.
To make
gotcha.
Sure what address we're going
right.
into.
Right. But the personal listening devices, I mean, I'm told that that information is stored, and in consumers, if you sit in your living room and talk and you have one of these personal assistants, that it's going to record everything you say and it's going somewhere up there in space.
Well, here's my answer for this.
Brief. I only have 30 seconds.
Yes, 40 seconds. I'm using those devices myself.
Okay.
As far as the disclaimer of the big companies are, they are not recording it. They're not saving it. Yet, my suggestion to the people who are using, remember, comfort comes with a price.
Uh-huh.
So if you think that you are going to talk or say things that you don't want, that by coincidence will go to the wrong direction, you simply shut it off.
Gotcha.
That's what you do.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, you know what? It's been a fascinating time. I've so enjoyed having you. We really appreciate it. Just for our listeners, you've been tuned into Of Consuming Interest. My guest has been Idan Udi-Edri. He is the CEO of Trustify, and we've been talking about ways that you can be safer and how to encrypt your emails and protect yourself. And just remember, 69% of the cyber attacks come through unencrypted emails. Ooh, that's scary. Idan, thank you so much for being with us. I'm Shirley Rooker. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WJLA 7 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.